Hello, and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Doug Arnold, and I'm a member of the Hospitality Ministries team. It's a joy to have you worship with us today. We do invite you to fully participate. You'll find the worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
Thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be together and to worship from across the miles. The Holy Spirit unites us. We have so much to celebrate this morning. I would invite all of you who are worshiping with us by live stream to register your attendance with us. There should be a link in the comment section alongside the live stream or Facebook Live to allow you to do that. We're happy to welcome the Purdue family and Joel Herbert, who is here to join this morning. So we have a few people here in person today we're very excited about. As we gather, just a few announcements about ways that you can connect and worship and serve in the life of the church. We have a membership class coming up in September. If you've been worshiping with us online and have been praying about perhaps becoming officially a member, that will start on September 13th at 11 o'clock through Zoom, and you can email Reverend Erin, and she will get you connected with that Zoom link. If you have children that are interested in children's choirs, we will be having virtual children's choirs this fall on Wednesdays from 6 p.m. to 6:30, and we'd love for you to register for that and join in those times of fun and singing together. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly service of Tazay worship, which is a wonderful opportunity for contemplation and singing and prayer. If you're looking for ways to serve, we want to highlight some of opportunities through our public schools and especially our partnership with HG Middle School. They are looking for folks who might serve as tutors. That would be a virtual relationship since we're still in this time of social distancing, but there should be information about that and also participating in food distribution through the school system and how we can serve those families in need. So hopefully there's a link also alongside in the comment section. And finally, just one more thing we want to celebrate. This coming Friday, August 21st, our own Pastor Maggie and Pastor Brandon will be ordained. Brandon will be ordained as an elder, and Maggie will be ordained as a deacon in the Tennessee Conference. They have worked long and hard for this moment, and we want to celebrate with them. We hope that there will be a link that we can send out to you where you can worship live through that experience and live stream. It will also be rebroadcast during our annual conference on September 18th. So we'll keep you up to date on that so you can worship and celebrate with them. This morning, we join the disciples in the boat as a storm begins to hit. And like them, we find that Jesus is with us, ready to save. So let us spend this time in worship together, trusting and holding on to Christ who calls us here.
Thank you. Spirit of God gave the universe birth.
The Spirit of God delivered the world.
Yet this same God invites us, saying, "Do not be afraid."
Let us worship the one who banishes fear,
who comforts the trembling, and quickens the faint.
Let us worship the one whose creation is renewed.
Let us worship the one whose creatures are never forsaken.
Let us now come to God with our confessions, trusting that nothing can ever separate us from the all-consuming love of God. God, our Comforter, it is hard to believe we are still in this season of uncertainty. A new school year is here, with new opportunities and transitions, but the backdrop, with its worry and without answers, remains. Loving God, if you are calling us beyond our places of security, we are distracted by the wind, the waves, and the rough sea. Forgive us our doubts. Forgive us for asking if you are present with us in the storm. Restore our faith in you and in your love for us. May we be filled with certainty that what we fear will never drown out the warmth and strength of your outstretched hand. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You can do this with those who you are worshiping with at home through the comments on the live stream, or send a text to someone. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you. And also with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace of Christ be with you,
and also with you.
Joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Jim and Mallory Perdue bring their daughter, Hunter Elizabeth, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Jim and Mallory, it's my joy now to ask you these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your daughter for baptism today. I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, She may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, "We do."
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this beautiful child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by the Holy Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. And what name have you given your daughter? Hunter Elizabeth Perdue. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Hunter Elizabeth, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen. And as Jim and Mallory come forward a little bit more so that you all can see Miss Hunter Elizabeth, I want you to notice this beautiful gown she's wearing that her great-grandfather wore in 1894, and it's been a treasure in their family for generations. As this church has been sustained by generations of faithful people, may we continue to love and serve her.
Now, as a congregation, it is our joy to welcome our new sibling in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Hunter Elizabeth to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give
thanks for all that God has already given you, Hunter Elizabeth, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you.
Join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson from the Gospel, Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was far from the land and battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. In the early morning, he came to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "Oh, man of little faith, why did you doubt?" When he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now I'd like to invite all of the children to come a little bit closer to your screens and to spend a special moment with me. I'm guessing that some of you already know how to swim. Maybe some of you haven't learned yet, but you're excited to do that. I don't remember how old I was when I learned how to swim, but I do remember it was my mom who taught me. And when we first got in the pool, she had me sort of lie on my tummy, and she held her hands underneath me and taught me how to do my arms and turn my head. And gradually she would remove her hands so that I could do it by myself. As I got a little better at it, we'd go to the shallow end of the pool so I could stand on my tiptoes and still have my head above the water. And then she'd pull away maybe 6 feet or so and say, "Okay, now swim to me." And so I would start swimming. And I remember how it felt like she was so far away. And I remember getting kind of lost in the water and getting really scared and just felt like something was going to happen and she wasn't going to be there. And suddenly, her hand was there, taking my hand and pulling me out of the water and saying, "It's going to be okay. Let's try again." And so the more I tried it, the more I really began to trust that she was there. And if something went wrong, she would be right there to catch me. And the more I trusted that she was there, the less afraid I was, and the better swimmer I became. Let's pray together. Gracious God, sometimes life is really hard. It feels like a storm. It feels like we're in a pool and we don't really know how to swim and it gets scary. But you're always with us. You're always right there, ready to hold us and save us. And so as we get ready to hear this story about the disciples in a boat in the storm, help us remember that Jesus was right there to save them too. In his name we pray. Amen. It's hard for me to imagine how scared those disciples must have been in that boat. I've never been in a fishing boat in the middle of the night, in the middle of a huge storm. I don't know what that feels like. The closest thing I can come to is remembering what it feels like to be on an airplane when you're going through turbulence. The last airplane flight I went on, which was many months ago now, we went through a pretty long patch of turbulence. And I grabbed on to the seat and held on, and it felt so helpless. You're being battered by the forces of nature, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to hold on and trust that you're going to get through it. But I think that feeling is nothing compared to what these disciples were feeling. They must have been scared for their lives. For all they knew, Jesus was miles away, After the day they had spent together with Jesus teaching and healing and feeding the multitudes, the story we heard last week, Jesus needed some time alone, so he pulled away to pray, and he sent the disciples on ahead in a boat. And so, as far as they know, he is miles away on the land. And the word that Matthew uses to describe this storm, he says the waves were torturing the boat. And in the middle of all of that fear and that anxiety and that certainty that they were going to die, Jesus comes out to them. They see a figure walking on the water, and he says to them, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Now, I think it's tempting and easy for us when we hear this kind of miracle to want to go down that road of, well, did this really happen? What's the nature of this miracle? How can we explain it? And those are interesting questions and good ones for us to wrestle with. But those aren't the questions that I want to pick up today. Because I think in telling us this story, what Matthew really wants to get at is revealing who Jesus is and revealing to us something about faith. And so to consider those questions, I want to focus in a little more closely on the interaction between Jesus and Peter. Peter really represents all of the disciples in this story and represents us in many ways. When Jesus starts walking toward them on the water, he's just not quite sure that it is Jesus. It's hard for him to believe that in the midst of this storm and all the chaos that's happening, that Jesus is really with them. And so he says, if it is you, command me to come out of the boat. And so Jesus says, come. And lo and behold, Peter gets out of the boat, and for one whole verse, he walks on water. He experiences the miracle. He is filled with the same power that holds Jesus calm and at peace in the middle of this storm, and he begins walking to Jesus. But within seconds, the wind grabs his attention. He gets distracted again by the waves and the storm, and it's overwhelming to him again, and he begins to sink. And he cries out, "Lord, save me!" And just as the words come out of his mouth, Jesus reaches down and rescues him. And then he says to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I hear these words of Jesus and I wince because I'm Peter in this story. And maybe you are too. Maybe we don't know what it's like to be in a fishing boat in the middle of the night in the middle of a storm, but we know what it's like to feel battered by life. We are in the middle of a terrible storm right now. And we have so many wonderful things to celebrate in worship that I'm not going to explain and delineate all of the things that are happening in our world because we know them all too well. This invisible enemy that we're all fighting in the coronavirus, the struggle for racial justice and all that stirs up within us and within our friends and within our institutions and all of the self-examination that we're called to do is so hard. And in addition to all of these things, the headlines that we see every day of friends in Iowa who have been devastated by the most recent storms to hit our country. And then, of course, there are the things happening in each of our individual lives. Some of you have lost loved ones and friends in recent days and weeks and are holding that grief in the midst of the larger grief that we're all holding together. Some of you are dealing with sickness and loneliness and depression, loss of jobs, loss of a business, so much uncertainty. I have a friend that I see once a month who's sort of a spiritual guide for me. We've been meeting over Zoom for the past few months. And as I was sort of emptying out upon her all of the things that I'm holding and worrying about and struggling with, she looked at me and said, "It is
too much. It is, my friends, it's too much. And it's okay to name that. And that is what lands us right in the middle of this boat, in the middle of this story. We know what it's like to be battered by the winds and the waves, to feel totally out of control, and to wonder if God is anywhere near or if God is miles away. And so we are right with Peter in this story, wondering, if it is you, God, help me step out of this boat and trust you. And we're with Peter when he's distracted again by the headlines, by the bad news, by another thing going wrong, and we start to sink. And we're with Peter when Jesus pulls him up and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" But are these words of judgment, or is there more? I think with Jesus, there is always more than judgment. What may sound like judgment at first really is an invitation and a word of grace. You see, Jesus says, "You have little faith," a few times in the Gospels, and every time he says it, it's to his disciples or to believers. People who have faith, but it's just a little too small. There's an invitation here to Peter and to all of us to have bigger faith, to trust more that God is with us and that God has the power to hold us in a place of peace and moving forward, even in the middle of a tumultuous storm. There's an invitation when he says, "Why did you doubt?" This word doubt that Matthew uses is only used one other time in the New Testament. And it doesn't mean, why were you skeptical? Why didn't you believe? It means, why did you vacillate? Why did you believe for a minute and then get distracted? I do that all the time. There have been moments in this pandemic when I have had my eyes and my heart fixed on Jesus and I have felt steady and at peace, and then I vacillate because something else comes along and knocks me off my feet. Jesus understands the vacillating. But the invitation here to Peter and to us is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and to trust that he will hold us and carry us forward. Have bigger faith, Jesus says. Trust in me. Be willing to step out of the boat and trust that I've got you. Some of you are feeling led right now to step out of the boat. God is stirring some things up in our midst. I've received emails and had conversations with some of you who are asking some really big questions. Like, how can we at West End take a stronger stand against racism? How can we share what we have in our resources to help lift up those in our community who are in danger of being evicted and losing their homes and losing their jobs? I heard someone say one time, our dreams need to be so big that we cannot accomplish them without God. How is God calling us to step out of the boat? How is God calling us and calling you to deeper trust? How can you and I keep our eyes and our hearts fixed on Jesus? He is our Savior. The storms will not overwhelm us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them in the chat, you're welcome to do that. If you have confidential prayer requests, you may send a message to us, to the pastoral staff, via our website under the Contact Us page. The rose on our communion table this morning celebrates the birth of Dax James Maddie Darling, who was born on July 24th to Ashley and Scott Darling. He's welcomed also by his big sister, Isla. And we offer our sympathy this morning to Skipper and Nancy Phipps and their family, who are mourning the death of Skipper's mother, Martha Phipps, who passed away on August the 9th. A family service was held at Woodlawn Cemetery on Wednesday, August the 12th. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who saves, we give you thanks this morning for your abiding presence and for the ways in which you make yourself known to us through the comforting words of Scripture, through the beauty of our natural world, and through the companionship and care of friends and loved ones. Merciful Savior, we recognize that your saving grace comes to us in different ways. And so we lift up those who are most in need this day. We lift up those who are hungry, those who have no home, those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. We lift up those who are grieving, those who are living in fear, those who are confused or uncertain. Surround all of these with your love, O God, and grant them your grace for this day, that they might recognize your presence and take heart. And use us, O God, that we might be instruments of your love and grace in this world. Spirit of courage, we also recognize that sometimes you invite us to step out in faith, to do difficult or uncomfortable things, even when we doubt and even when we are afraid. So we ask that you would give us a spirit of discernment to know what it is that you would have us to do, and then empower us that we might boldly step away from our places of comfort, that we might do the work to which you call us with the assurance that you will always be with us. All of our prayers, O God, both spoken and unspoken, we offer to you in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. You may give through our website or text to give. You can also mail a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we also encourage you to give as you are able, because we know that God can multiply any gift for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
Thank you.
This is the time of year when we would traditionally bless the backpacks of our students and pray for our children and teachers as they head back to school. But back to school looks a little bit different this year, with virtual learning, hybrid models, safety measures for those who are able to return in person. The school year will be filled with challenges, frustrations, hard choices, and grief for the loss of normalcy and traditions. However, we hope and pray that this school year will also be filled with learning and growing and transformation, with friendships and success and excitement and joy. Our blessing this year, because we're still going to bless the school year, is going to look a little bit different. We're going to start with a congregational prayer that is printed in your bulletin, and then we'll see a brief video from some members in our congregation as they pray for students and educators and parents. And then we'll close together back here. So will you join me in our congregational blessing for the school year? Gracious God, you go before and beside and behind us. Surround our students, parents, and educators with your love and grace. Bless this school year. May it be filled with hope and transformation. On bad days, help us to remember that you love us and we are enough. On good days, help us to remember that you love us and celebrate with us. This year will be unique. May it also be one that glorifies you, Lord.
We ask that you bless all the students and learners as they commit themselves to study in the school year ahead. Sometimes a new school year seems exciting or scary or both. Sometimes school is great and sometimes school is hard. Lord, help these students to remember that you are with them always. May they be reminded that this congregation loves and supports them.
We pray for the teachers, administrators, leaders, and support staffs in our school, in our church, and on our college campuses. May they be blessed in their work. May they be filled with wisdom. May they be reminded that this congregation embraces their call to teaching and learning and surrounds them with love and care.
We pray for the parents and caregivers in our congregation who are trying to figure out how to best do new things and make decisions for their family. May they be blessed this year. May they know your love, peace, and strength. And may they experience and show your grace. Help them remember that this congregation loves and supports them.
May the Lord bless and keep us all in this school year. Amen.
I'd like to invite Joel Herbert to come forward. I'm going to introduce him. Joel is married to Danielle, and they have three children, Piper, Aiden, and Noah. Joel is a singer-songwriter and a student at Fuller School of Theology, and they recently moved to Nashville. Joel, I have two questions for you. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
As a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Would the congregation rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest member? Family of God, Joel is now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
To send us on our way as we welcome Joel and Hunter Elizabeth into the boat with us on this journey. May we go trusting that Christ goes with us, and in Christ we will have the peace that we need to step out in faith and serve the world. Amen.